Welcome to Croxley Green Baptist Church Sermon Podcast.
We've been thinking about care for creation these last three Sundays, and that has seemed a very topical thing to do. This week there has been much coverage, as there has been in the past few weeks, of the environmental crisis, or the environmental emergency, as some people prefer to call it. We've heard of the fires in the Amazon and in other parts of the world. Last week there was a school climate strike with 4 million young people and others supporting them marching through the streets of the cities of the world through 24 hours. And this week, Greta Thunberg, this young Swedish girl who stimulated this response of young people to what's happening in our world, stands up before the leaders at the United Nations and shames them in a really quite powerful speech. Shames them over their lack of leadership over climate change. 2 weeks ago when I spoke, and Sarah mentioned it last week, I said it all started with steam power. That's where our growing dependency on fossil fuel began, coal and then gas and oil. We've pushed beyond the boundaries of God's gift of the greenhouse effects, which makes this planet habitable, warm enough for life. And as we push the boundaries that God has set, we see increasing chaos and extinction of species and breakdown in the order of nature. But actually, it wasn't really steam where it all started. It wasn't the clanking, hissing, oil-smelling machinery of the steam engine that caused the environmental crisis. No, it's more subtle than that. It began with the power of words. Two words. Two connected words that are in the passage that Eric read to us today. God blessed them, human beings, male and female. God blessed them and said, "Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule." Subduing and ruling are words associated with leadership in the ancient world, embodied in monarchy, often in kingship, and they are strong words. Hebrew for subdue is radah, roda, means to tread down, to have dominion, to prevail against, while subdue, korbash, sounds like those old Batman things in Batman series in the 60s. You know, whenever Batman and Robin hit somebody, there was a kaboom came up on the screen. Karbash means to tread down, to disregard, to conquer, to subjugate, to violate. In human terms, they would describe the worst kind of dictator possible. But when it comes to creation, this is so often what we have done. We are on top. Creation supplies our needs and wants. We haven't really bothered the impact that we have. It always seems to be there. It doesn't matter what we do to it. It is God's gift to us to do what we want. That kind of attitude has reshaped our world. We have concern today of the cutting down of the tropical rainforests in the Amazon, in Africa, in the Far East. And yet over the past 15,000 years, since the end of the last ice age, most of the forest cover in the Northern Hemisphere, in Europe and Asia and large parts of North America, has gone. Partially as a result of the natural climate cycle after the ice age. But in large part, as humans filled the earth, we didn't need steam power and chainsaws to cut down the trees. No, we needed stone axes, then bronze axes, and iron axes. Even 2,000 years ago, this would have been verdant forest from the south coast right up to the north coast of our land. This dominant idea of subduing and ruling dominated Christian thinking. It drove our actions, linked with this false idea that the material world is bad and that the spiritual world is good. That Christianity is just about securing our place in heaven. That is a false idea. God declares creation good and very good, affirmed by God himself through his Son becoming part of creation as one of us through Jesus. You see, for centuries we have been reading the Bible wrong. We've been reading it through the wrong lens. God calls us to rule and subdue, but we've read it through the lens of human self-centeredness. We've read it through the lens of sin. And just as Greta Thunberg shamed those of us in an older generation, not only the world leaders this week, so actually as Christians in the West, we have been shamed and forced into a new reading of Scripture by those people over the last 50 years have been concerned increasingly about the environmental movement, often from outside the church. But it's made us as Christians start to read it in new ways. We need to read these words through a better lens. Yes, we are called to rulership and monarchy and kingship over creation. But that cannot be modelled by our own lust for power. It has to be modelled upon God's own kingship, because we were all created in the image of God. And if we're created in the image of God, then our ruling, our subduing has to be modelled upon God's kingship over creation. Something that mirrors God's ruling over all of creation. These opening chapters in Genesis tell us something about the rule and kingship of God over what he has made. In the beginning, God created the earth, and it was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the raging ocean. This is how God created the world, in darkness, this raging sea, an image. If you read through the Old Testament, the sea became the image of everything in opposition to God. And yet God acts to subdue it, to subdue the darkness in declaring, "Let there be light." And then later to draw the waters together and for dry land to appear. God subdues the disorder that threatens creation and its goodness. And God rules through bringing order and maintaining order. And you see that as you read through the first chapter of Genesis, through this creation story. God increasingly brings order. He separates light and darkness. The sun for the day, the moon for night. He marks the seasons. There is order within the world as he acts and rules. And within that order, life flourishes. Plants and animals and humans. This is the model of God's kingship over creation. A kingship, a ruling that we are invited to share in. But ruling is a privilege, that God gives us. And that privilege comes to us with responsibility. A monarch who subdues disorder and brings order. That's the model for the kings of Israel in the Old Testament. That's what they were called to protect the nation from external forces of disorder, to ensure order and life flourishes and justice within the life of the nation. But it was a hard pattern to live by. In good times, the monarchs protected the nation from the powers that would bring chaos outside and within. They maintained law and justice and obeyed the way of God. But time and time again, it says, of the kings of Israel, they were a bad king. They did not follow the ways of the Lord. They acted in self-centered ways. They ignored God's way and life. And time again in Scripture, they were condemned for it in the Word and by the prophets. And today, looking at the way we impact creation, what kind of ruling do we exercise over the world? One that subdues disorder or increases it? One that works with God's ordering of the world or ignores it and destroys it? I was having a conversation when I was away last week with a pastor from London, Philip. He's originally from Ghana. And when we were talking about Care for Creation 6 months ago, He wasn't sure about whether this was an important thing for us to do, whether we should kind of stop investing in oil and gas. That would have a big impact upon his country. The oil industry there, the funds they get from that, that pays for secondary education in his country. And the palm oil products that its country exports to the rest of the world, they provide a living for people in that country. They provide things that that country needs. So I sat down and had another chat with him last week. We talked about palm oil. Do you know a lot of the things you have in your homes have palm oil in them? Do you know that? You might have been wondering what I was doing over here. But I was looking for it. Nivea Indulgent Moisturising Cashmere. Sounds good, doesn't it? I was looking if I could spot palm oil in this product, and you can't unless you look very carefully, because they don't call it palm oil. They call it PEG 200 Hydrogenated Glycerol Palmate. The clue's in the palmate. So while Eric was reading the Bible passage, I was just Googling it to see what it was. And guess what? It's palm oil. Most of our cosmetics products have palm oil in. Some of our food products have palm oil in. Sorry? Margarine has palm oil in. They probably say it's healthy for us. It's not so healthy for the planet. And in Ghana, what happens is big industrial corporations come in and they take over the smaller farms and they strip the forests, the natural forests, and they plant palm oil plantations. And it's happening all over the tropical world. The problem is that they replace a rich variety of plant life with one single plant, and they keep growing it and growing it and growing it to meet the demand that there is in the world for this stuff, because it's cheaper than other types of oil to put in our products that we use. And within a very short amount of time, the soil is so degraded, they can't grow anything anymore. And the forest is gone. And talking to Philip, actually, he said better, actually, rather than large plantations, that the small farmers grow it. Because they understand the cycles of nature. They understand the importance to rotate crops in the way that we used to rotate crops and still do in our fields. They understand the soil. They understand when they need to leave it bare for a year or two, to let it be rewilded. Don't we see that ancient wisdom in the Bible too? According to the rest of the lands, every 7 years and every 50th year, to let it be fallow, to be rewild, so the soil is recovered and recovers from what we take out of it. It's driven for the demand for products which are cheap, which make us smell nice and our skins feel nice and our hair feel good and is healthier for our diet. But there is a cost. There is a cost to God's creation. So what kind of rulership are we exercising upon the world today? God calls us to a restored rulership, modelled on his own. And as those made in God's image and aware of that, because not everybody is, as followers of Jesus, we are aware that we are made in God's image. We should seek to model and live our lives like good rulers. See, God gives us an invitation to work within his pattern for creation at the beginning and at the end. In Revelation chapter 1, right at the start of his letter, John writes these words: Jesus, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. There it is again. Some image of ruling, but ruling in the service of God. This is us, those who follow Jesus. Jesus comes to restore our life. He comes to restore our relationship with God. He comes to restore our ruling over creation. That we would work against the disorder that would crush and overwhelm our world. That we would live in a way that maintains the fruitful ordering of creation. See, our faith is more than about reaching heaven when we die. Our faith in a dying world is to live with God, to bring, to maintain, to sustain life in creation, to give life to others around the world. This is how we are to rule and subdue.